Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
In the before times, parents fretted about screen time, how to keep kids off the internet, off the TV. Then came the pandemic. Between remote schooling, virtual social lives, parents trying to balance work and home, often from home, we have spent the last year essentially putting kids on screens, on the internet. So now what? Well, we invite you to pull up a chair, come to the virtual kitchen table. We're going to talk about that. We want to know, have your children's internet habits shifted? Has their behavior changed as a result of those habits shifting? And are you worried about their mental and physical health after being on screens for so many hours a day? We can also take some questions about how to wean them off and what to do next. Join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. We are welcoming two guests back for this conversation. First, Dr. Andrea Spencer, a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist at Boston Medical Center, also an assistant professor of psychiatry at Boston University School of Medicine, and Kiana Agbai, a Boston parent, entrepreneur, and author of the blog and Instagram account Harlem Lovebirds. Dr. Spencer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Kiana Agbai, welcome back to you too.
Thank you.
So I understand you're both parents. Dr. Spencer, tell me about your kids. How old are they? How do they use the internet and screen during this crazy pandemic time?
Sure. So I have two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. The 6-year-old is in kindergarten and so has been during the pandemic. And we definitely saw an increase in screen time, definitely in our family during the pandemic. And of course, in my clinical practice, I saw lots of kids having increased screen time of various forms and kind of the benefits and the struggles associated with that.
So, Kiana, we've talked about your kids a number of times on the show, but remind us of them and tell us how it's been for screen time and internet time for them during this pandemic.
Yes, I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. So similar to Dr. Spencer with the first grader. But for us, it was a really change of course, because in my household, before COVID, we limited screen time greatly. So Sunday night to Thursday night, there were no screens, no TV, no iPad. Granted, now my daughter about to enter middle school. Anyway, we know there'd be a little bit more screen time, you know, typing and starting to write papers and things of that nature. But we definitely reversed that policy during the past year. So Sunday night to Thursday night, the children were allowed to have screen time. So they've seen a complete change of course in, you know, our household policy.
Have the two of you worried about that as moms?
I have.
Go ahead.
I have for sure. I mean, especially for, such young kids, and I'm constantly thinking about establishing habits that I want to last a lifetime. These are the kinds of things that, you know, parents think about is, what are the longer term implications of what we do with our kids? And I think one of the things that has been interesting for me, both with my own kids and for my patients, is this change from, you know, really intentionally limiting screen time to this, almost about face of intentionally encouraging screen time in certain settings. And how confusing that can be for little kids, and for parents to navigate.
I want to put the number out for listeners too, 1-800-423-8255. As parents, do you feel that that the situation has caused you to push your kids to the screen, push them to the internet? And if so, how has that gone? And do you have worries? Let's talk about that. I mean, everyone is navigating this, has been, and is trying to figure out what comes next. Kiana, for you as a mom, on balance, has this set well with you or have you had worries?
I've had quite a few worries. I think too, because my son was partway through kindergarten when this happened. So back in March 2020. So thinking about just from a brain development perspective and the need for play and interaction and social emotional learning. So it really did feel like it went against everything I knew developmentally, you know, that he needed as a small child.
Dr. Spencer, is that a reasonable concern? Let's put your psychiatrist hat on now, and let's just talk about the brain development piece of what Kiana just said. Talk a little bit about that.
I agree with her. I think it is a concern. You know, as much as we try to make virtual interactions, you know, mean as much as possible, it's not the same as interacting with people face to face. And as she said, the very physical nature of learning when you're that young in particular is very hard to replicate virtually. And one thing that I've consistently noticed was a problem among the other things is the feedback that little kids get over, you know, for example, a Zoom class is very different. And feedback is so important. You know, when I say something, when I do something, both the positive reinforcement and the caring that comes from the adults in the room and the connection to peers in the room, and even the opposite, the sometimes negative reinforcement that's needed about, well, this is not something that we do. Let's think of an alternative, let's do this. Those kinds of interactions are very, very hard over video conferencing platforms, and we're missing. And for the youngest kids, that's a major concern that I have. So I think her concerns are very warranted.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Have you developed strategies that you want to share with other parents for managing screen time, for managing internet access during this internet heavy cycle we've had over the last year? Kiana, has it been all bad? I mean, I suppose as I'm thinking about the questions I've been asking, I keep saying, are you worried? Which suggests I think you should be. But are there benefits that you've seen for your kids in becoming internet savvy, in learning online, in being able to access content they couldn't otherwise?
Yes. I mean, my six-year-old has almost become like his own little tech support. So it's been really interesting to watch him. He's been fully remote. You know, even though I think Boston Public Schools went back fully in April, just for consistency's sake, as much as I knew he wanted that in-person interaction, just to keep things as stable as possible, we maintained him at home. So the remote piece for him, you know, being able to still be a part of the classroom has been important, but it's also, I've noticed, given him a sense of independence for being in control of, you know, his own device given to him by the school, learning how to work Zoom. He's really become adept at it, and it's enabled him even to sometimes hop in and make suggestions and troubleshoot with other students. So he's fully taken that on his own. I was really surprised to see that. And I think for his sister, as a fifth grader, the two of them knowing that they've been going through this remote experience together, she ended up going back in person, just being older and her situation being a smaller class size, letting her go back in person. But the two of them kind of seeing this through together, it's been really interesting to kind of watch them navigate it as a 6 and 10-year-old working their way through this very strange time.
Dr. Spencer, does it have to be a bad thing? I mean, is there a way to make lemonade out of these lemons?
I mean, I think, you know, as we saw at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a huge push to get kids connected, obviously, because that's how we needed kids to learn, and we needed to make sure kids were connected to the internet. And that shows you some of the benefit that the internet can have, connecting people, helping people access things they wouldn't have accessed before. And I've actually had some patients who have said, you know, my kid wasn't learning to read until I got this program on the tablet, and now they are super into it and know all their letter sounds. So I think there is a place for technology educationally, but I think that the real issues are, you know, when we think about screen time and whether it's okay or not, or whether it's actually beneficial, we have to think about how the screens are being used and also how much. You know, it's not about small increases necessarily. It's about excess use, and it's not about, whether you log into Facebook or not, or whether you log into any social media platform or not. It's about what you do when you're on there.
If a kid's Zooming into school, though, isn't it by definition going to be excess use, at least for now, Dr. Spencer?
Well, I suppose that depends on your definition of excess use. But I think for most of the kids that I've seen go through this, I would say it would have met what most of us would have called excess use before the pandemic, that then all of a sudden became necessary use. But also, if you think about Zoom, you know, in some ways, Zoom might be better than other things that kids are accessing on the internet, that in which they have a level of independence that in some ways is good, but in some ways is concerning in terms of using the internet.
Yeah, I mean, clearly all content is not created equal. And we know that there are, you know, apps and dimensions of the internet that are designed to draw you in and send you deeper down the rabbit hole. And that can be addictive. Kiana, have you had to manage that with your kids? And how do you manage what they're accessing on a screen when it's so hard to keep them away from a screen because schools are providing them with screens and they're being asked to be on screens? And parents are busy and can't be watching what's on that screen all the time.
Yeah, that's been a struggle for me. I think early on with my six-year-old, I didn't realize the device that he was given, the school-issued device, did not have any type of screener software on it. We found that out the hard way. Somehow, he ended up on a website that was inappropriate. And so I quickly alerted the school and let them know about that. But I was, you know, just shocked that there wasn't any type of child appropriate safe software given to on these school issued devices. So that was a wake up call for me. But I think apart from school issued devices, just trying to get a sense of what the children are watching. You know, even with like Google Family, we became adept at being able to use that and monitor what the kids are doing on the back end. And even our internet service provider, they have ways that you can literally cut the internet off if needed by specific device. So we're able to not only set time management tools for the kids, but also, you know, to the point that Dr. Spencer made about what are they doing on the screens. You know, if we're as a family, you know, playing a video game together, or doing one of the, you know, the dance party games and getting physical exercise that was really important in the winter, that was a great way for us to be together with a screen as a family doing a physical activity. So we were always cognizant and even still, you know, we are about how are we using the screens? What is the intention? Are we learning? Are we playing a game? Are we bonding? Even connecting over Zoom with family across the country, we were able to come together more often than not, you know, that made us think about why weren't we doing this before? Every other Sunday, we get together with family across several states now. And I think that's something that's going to stick with us. We're going to keep that going on Zoom. So just like what Dr. Spencer said, there are some things that are good, you know, that are going to come with us. But now we're going to be in the process, especially as school lets out, how are we going to walk back some of that screen usage? And that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now.
So let's turn to you, Dr. Spencer. We have a couple minutes left, so two questions. How to recognize if your child has been exposed to content that could be harmful, and tips for now beginning to scale back internet and screen usage in this beautiful weather as school ends and as the world begins to reopen, or at least our area begins to reopen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would say that unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to know what kids are looking at on the internet, and it's hard for parents, especially parents who are working from home, you know, to supervise them as much as we would like. But I would say, I think Kiana's points are very, very important. When you can be there with your child to help them navigate it and help them understand what's appropriate and inappropriate. But when you can't, try as much as possible to talk with them about it and ask what they're looking at and even ask to see what they're liking on the internet or what their favorite site is, you know, so you can actually see what they're doing and what they're enjoying, because that will be illuminating. So you can figure out what are they watching and is it something that's educational or is it something that's inappropriate, which Kiana is not the only parent to have dealt with that issue on school issued laptops during the pandemic. I can tell you from seeing so many families what an issue that was. And then for the summer, I would say get outside. You know, I think getting outside is my kind of number one goal for my family and families across our area. You know, get outside, and that will keep your kids off screens and keep them interacting in a healthy way.
That is Dr. Andrea Spencer, child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist at Boston Medical Center. She's also an assistant professor of psychiatry at the Boston University School of Medicine. And Kiana Agbai, Boston parent, entrepreneur, and author of the blog and Instagram account Harlem Lovebirds. Thanks to both of you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.